You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm back with my friend, Glenn Tickle. Glenn.
Great to be here. It's like you were about to say something else instead of friend and like stopped yourself last second.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe my brain said friend. I have a million things going on in my brain right now. I just got off the phone. I had an interview earlier with another comedian. I had an interview with a writer who I'm trying to work with. I got off the phone with another person that is a writer and producer and director that I worked on a show with. And then I've been trying to wrangle all this stuff for Alaska, the trip that David and I are going on in Alaska. I don't know if you're familiar with that yet.
No, but have fun. I hear.
And we're going to Alaska to do stand up in June. Nice. And then I'm also trying to schedule this thing for Darren Carter and I to go to Texas in July. So there's like three different things happening right now that I'm like, a lot of things happening. I'm just trying to like finagle them. I was like, and then Zoom decided right before this that it wanted to, you know, install an update. You know how it is.
Yeah, I've had that happen. On
my brain is not 100%. Yes.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I've had that happen where you log on to do a Zoom show, or you know whatever the platform is. Zoom has been in the past 2 years, I think, the most stable. Like I've done shows on Microsoft Teams. I've done shows in WebEx. I did a show in like some proprietary, like in-house system for a company. And I was like, guys, you got get Zoom. Just, we've all agreed this is the one we're using. Teams, I guess that's the one where like your boss can see when your mouse is moving or whatever. Ugh. I'm like, yeah, I don't encourage that.
No, I'm surprised WebEx is still around. I used WebEx early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, I think. And you could like go into people's computers and remote desktop and all that stuff.
Yeah. So I had like at the beginning of the pandemic, the first time I had to do something on Zoom, I was surprised to find I had already had it installed. I don't know what this is. I don't remember using it for anything, but sure, I guess it's already here. And then I think WebEx I had to do an interview years ago when I was culture writing and they wanted to do it on WebEx. And I was like, all right, it doesn't seem like a real thing. This right? seems like a trick, but okay, I'll put this on my computer.
So what have you been up to, Glenn? I have been watching your Instagram, so I know you've been doing shows. You've been doing all kinds of stuff. What have you been up to?
It's been a slow past couple of days. I'm home for a few more days, but I was just down in Virginia for a show. I won't say the group, but it was a group of realtors. Thank you, realtors, for having me. The guy who runs the group, after my set, pulled me aside and asked me the question, hey, did you think it was harder performing for a group of people who English is not their first language? And I'm like, yes, that would be harder. Is that what just happened? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I mean, I don't know what I would have done differently had I known this beforehand. No idea. And he's like, oh, nobody told you? I'm like, no one told me. Because it didn't go awesome. There were like eight tables up front, like really paying attention. It was a network event. So there's like, it's a big group all there to like kind of mingle and make real estate friends to help real estate or whatever. And then part of it was me telling joke. And like, there was a group up front that was like really paying attention and into it. And then there's also 100 people like yelling at each other at the bar. And I'm like, I'm way outnumbered here. It's not like one loud person. I can be like, hey, you know, there's a show going. I'm like, I'm interrupting you. Like, I apologize for this happening. But then the guy who runs the group is like, yeah, that, hard, right? Yes. Yeah, it was. Not the easiest set I've had, but it was like the people who were into it were into it. So I'm like, I'm just going to ignore the 100 screaming people at the bar and just pretend like this is like a pretty small show and just do it for you guys.
What language, do you know what language they were speaking or what other language
Spanish.
Was there?
Spanish. Okay. Which I don't know. I'm not familiar with.
I agree.
I have like a Sesame Street level understanding. But I took French in high school, and they could have all been French. And I'm like, I don't know. I still can't. I can't switch it up and suddenly start doing my material in another language.
I would love to hear the Gwen Tickle jokes in French. I wonder how those are going. I
want
to hear the
what Tickle is in French.
Mr. Tickle bit in French. That's what I want to hear.
Monsieur Tickle. But I don't know what the French word for tickle is. I mean, it's my name, so I wouldn't translate. But
well, it's got to be. We're going to do this. We're going to Google Translate this bad boy while we're on here.
Yeah, now I'm curious.
All right, so we're going to go to French because... Why not?
I'm surprised because like I didn't think, I'm like, well, it's not like a lot of puns in my act, but I kind of like a lot of the jokes about my name kind of are puns.
Yeah.
So I could see how that wouldn't be immediately accessible.
Chatoulet is tickle.
Monsieur Chatoulet.
Chatoulet. That doesn't sound as dirty though.
If you're French, it might.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
I did do a show, this was years ago, but it was for a church group. Half of them did not speak any English. It was on a boat. Me and my friends Pat Jansen and Jason Brown go to do this show. I believe I was up first. I doing my time, half of the room be into it, they're paying attention, having a great time. The other half could not be bothered. Not even looking at me, like nothing's happening. So I get off stage and my friend's like, hey, how are they? I'm like, if you play to the left, they're great. The right side is just completely ignoring me. And then Jason, who like set up the show, is like, oh, that's probably because half of the people don't speak English. I'm like, man, that's the kind of thing you should tell people, I think, before the show starts. Because again, I wasn't going to learn Spanish to do this show, but probably would have like picked material that didn't rely so much on like my name being that silly. Because if you're Spanish, I guess it's not. I don't know.
What's tickle in Spanish? We got to go back to Google Translate here.
Still don't know. They didn't cover that one on Sesame Street.
Someone's gonna yell at us in the comments like, "You guys are doing it wrong. Google doesn't do it right." You know, and they're like, "Oh, okay."
Well, yeah, probably. I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, my bad.
Google Translate started like when I was in high school, and it was like my teacher complained about it constantly because it was so obvious when students used it because it did such a comically bad job. Yeah. I mean, that was 20 years ago. No, God, 25-ish years ago. I started high school in 1997. I'm 100 years old.
Tickle is cosquillas.
All right.
Still not funny.
I mean,
maybe because I'm English.
Tickle's only funny because you know what it means. Like, you don't speak the language that you're translating it into.
Fair enough. Well, that's bad shows are great and good shows are better, and that's. I mean, it's good to,
yeah.
It's great when you have good stories because you're going to get a story from her. Like, I'm looking forward to going to Alaska, not because the show is going to be bad, because I know it's not. It's already, they're very hyped. People I've talked to up there when you're trying to get other shows booked are excited. The venue is excited.
I've heard this about shows in Alaska. Like, Todd Barry's book, Thank You for Coming to Hattiesburg, where he talks about playing like third tier markets. He's like, yeah, like if you go to the town that no one else is going to, be so hyped that you came. And I'm like, yeah, that's been kind of my experience as well. If I'm like, if I'm in a town I've maybe never even have heard of in the middle of some state I don't go to a lot, they're just so into the idea that like, oh yeah, a comic's here, sure, yeah, I'll go to that sounds great.
yeah that's the thing, is because I didn't know this, there's 4 military bases in Fairbanks, Alaska. 4. There is 35,000 people in Fairbanks, Alaska. How are you supporting 4 military bases in, well, I'm guessing most of the people belong to the military base. Is there?
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I talk to churches, I talk to bases, I talk to all kinds of venues and stuff, trying to get another day. We're still figuring out if we're going to get another day at a different venue.
Yeah, I was trying to do that. I'm going to be out your way beginning of June. and I was trying to like stretch the trip out and having just no luck. And then I got a jury duty notice. So I'm like, oh, I have to come home right after in case I have to go dispense justice or whatever.
Well, can't you get them to delay it? Like in California, you can call and get them to delay it and put it on a different
day. I can, but I've never had jury duty in my entire life. I would love to do it. So I kind
of
like
a joke out of it.
Maybe like it's, I've always wanted to, like since like high school, I was like, yeah, that sounds great. I would love to 12 Angry Men then.
I almost thought you were going to say Pauly Shore like, jury duty it. Well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
No, I'm classier than that. No, but like, it seems like a fun, not, I mean, yeah, a fun thing to do. I don't know if that's necessarily the right word. Well, the thing is, if I had more day-to-day responsibility where it's like, oh, I'm going to take off work for a week. It's like, yeah, I don't have anything booked that week. After I get back from LA, I got a couple virtual shows I could probably move around. Like, there's nothing I don't mind canceling happening for most of the beginning of June.
What days are you going to be out in LA area? Like, what days are we looking at?
That first weekend. I fly in Friday. What's that? The 3rd. And then fly out Monday morning. Not no, Sunday night.
Not even going to get to see you.
I know.
We're going to meet Alaska.
Early, and then the week after is my daughter's birthday, so I'm like, well, I can't hang out too long, but like maybe I might say that Monday, you know. And then I got a virtual show in like the middle of the day, so I'd have to fly out really early morning to be able to catch it, because it doesn't pay enough to justify like staying an additional day,
right?
If I was doing other stuff, I would have, but then I have to get back for my kid's birthday, and I don't know. It just didn't come together this time.
Where are you performing at in LA? Is it private?
Nowhere.
Event or club or...
I am going for Max FunCon, which is the Maximum Fun Podcast Network's like event. They do it at, I think it's like Arrowhead near LA. Like you go and it's like a summer camp thing where it's like comedy shows and the hosts of the shows are there to do stuff. There's classes. They did one in the Poconos a couple of years ago that I was at. That was a lot of fun.
I've never even heard of this. This looks awesome.
Yeah, the one I did went to. It wasn't involved. So if I feel like if I say the one I did, it's like I wasn't a part of it. I just went.
What is it? It's Max Fun.
Maximum Fun.
What is that?
It's a podcast network with Jordan, Jesse Go, Bullseye. The end of my album, or no, where I put it. I made, so my first album like loops around the way I edited it. I called cast from the stage. It was Jordan, Jesse Go. That's the podcast network.
Okay, cool.
It is my favorite one, unless this is on a podcast network, in which case that's my favorite one. And then Max Fun
is on Spreaker. This is on Spreaker.
That's not a network, though. That's like a...
No, it's not. Yeah, it's a podcast.
Platform, right?
I'm going to start my own network at some point. I just haven't got there yet. We're working on it. I'm working on a lot of stuff, so eventually.
You got a lot going on, bud.
I always have
man.
Stuff going on. I can't stop.
You know what I like
stop.
To do is nothing. I like to do as little as I can get away with. And then people keep asking me to do more things. I'm like, I'll do it, sure. I have two shows booked for 2023 right now. And it's the thought that we're even going to get there is so ridiculous to me.
That's awesome, though.
One of them's for June 2023. I was like, we're not, are you kidding me?
That's more than a year away. That's wild.
Yeah. Like, look at the past 2.5 years and tell me confidently you're going to know what's going on in June of 2023. That you're like, you know what? Do a comedy show. You're right. Let's bring in this guy to our event. Wild.
Yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't do that. But here's the thing with the Alaska trip, I am trying to build it out more so that it can become a reoccurring thing where I can send other comedians up there a couple times a year. Like, you know,
yeah, I do that anytime I have to travel because it makes it feel like it justifies the trip a little more.
Yeah.
Like, I was especially trying to like squeeze some shows out of this LA thing because I'm like, oh well, then like the travel is a write-off. But now it's just I'm going to a grown-up summer camp because I like some podcasts. Is essentially what's happening.
Well, if you perform there, you can write it off, and also it's education, right? Aren't you learning something?
Oh, that's right. There are classes. Yeah, I guess I could. I guess I
there
could.
There you go. I write off everything. Email.
Don't do my own taxes. So I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago that my wife doesn't believe all the things that I try to tell her that we can write off. She's just not. I'm like, just get an accountant because I don't think I'm wrong. I think I'm like legitimate. Like, I can write off Netflix. It's one of the biggest platforms for comedy, which is my profession. Like, I need to be abreast
research.
of what is going on in Netflix comedy. Not all of it's great. I should be aware of it. Have you been disappointed by anybody that you really admire? You don't have to name names.
Yes.
But
yes.
Like three times. And I don't mean in like every way where it's like, oh, this person is a piece of garbage. I mean in like that's really not a very good bit of work you just did there. Where it's you're not like, it's just they did a bad job and it's a little disappointing.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yes.
I've noticed.
And I don't want to say who, but three comedians that I really love have recently let me down where I was like, really? That's the special you put up. That's what you did. You thought that was
specifically, I would say the genre of like pandemic, like first special since everything's shutting down. It's, I don't know like how universal it is, but like most of them have not been very good. And it's been kind of bumming me out. Where it's like people I really like, and I'm not saying they're bad comic. I just don't want to like drop a name and have them be like, why is that idiot say he didn't like my special? I don't care about that guy.
Right. Well, the weird part
Taylor Tomlinson's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. The weird thing
I'll name names of things that I like.
The weird thing is that a lot of independent comedians releasing their own stuff, like on YouTube and stuff, like the Mark Norman releases stuff on YouTube. Excellent, right? There's a lot of those kind of things that are excellent that I'm loving right now. More indie comedy than big produced comedy right now for me, at least.
Yeah, I've seen like there's a lot of great comedy. It's just some of like the name comics that have put specials out in the past 6 months to a year. It's just like it's not like. I feel you've got better in you. And I know we've all been inside. It's been hard to work out material. But wait to put out a special. Like, I'm sure Netflix, when all the shows got canceled, and like, well, we still need to put specials out. So we need to, like, I'm sure they threw money at Nate Bargatze or whoever. Another one that I like is his new special.
The one that he did like outside, like the Hollywood Bowl thing. Not Hollywood
Bowl,
but he did like the one outside.
It was an outside one. That one was really good. I'm always happy to name ones that I like, but I don't want
that one is at the, I believe, the Universal Amphitheater up by Universal Studios in Hollywood. I think that's, and I forgot what it's called. It's called the something. It's not Universal Amphitheater, but it's up.
Couldn't even begin to tell you.
I know exactly where it is because I saw it and I was like, why did we not go to this? Like, my wife loves Nate Bargatze. She thinks he's the funniest comedian there is. And she's married to me.
It's got
to
hurt, right?
It hurts a little bit.
I mean, he's up there for sure.
He is, but it hurts me a little bit. Say, he's my favorite comedian that's not you. She doesn't say that. She just says he's my favorite comedian.
Friends who will like... So Dry Bar has been doing a thing where they will like ask the audience like, oh, like who's your favorite Dry Bar comic? Or like they'll word it in interesting ways. Of like, oh, who could you watch over and over again? One of my friends commented, Kellen Erskine. Hilarious. I also really like Kellen Erskine, but I'm Facebook friends with you, bud. Like, I can see that. I saw that comment that you left where you said someone who's not me, your friend who lives down the street from you. Yeah, I'm like, that's, you could say Kellen Erskine and Glenn. Friend who I've known for years. Okay, I want to be clear. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I want to throw my friend under a bus. for saying that someone who's not me is their favorite comedian.
Kellen Erskine just did Alaska. He was just in Alaska. I was talking to somebody who wanted to go see a church. One of the guys at the church liked Kellen Erskine. We talked about it or whatever. And I was like, yeah, he did a lot of shows. And then I was like, he did this one place. I've never heard of it. And the guy go, and it's a pastor, right? Who's at the church. He's talking to me about it. He goes, oh, that's a weed shop up here. And I was like, oh, Kellen did a weed shop. Okay.
Nice.
I learned something today. So it was funny. I was like, I'm going to ask him later.
I have a bit about a weed store in Jersey. It's legal now. And I was doing a private event weekend. And they at like, it was a woman's 60th birthday party. And she wasn't, it didn't seem like that uptight. But she's, I asked, I'm like, is there anything you don't want me to say or talk about? And she's like, well, I saw your clip. I like that you were clean. I'm like, got it. And I'm like, oh, can I reference marijuana? It's legal here. And like, it wasn't, nothing illegal happened in the joke. You don't live in New Jersey, in which case, or you know, one of the however many other states have legal weed now. But I'm like, oh yeah, like if I do this bit, does that count as clean anymore? Because if I switched it up, so basically the joke is I performed at this weed store, and then the next day my dad asked if I'd done any live shows because stuff was opening up again. Like I just did one in a weed store, and he knew the name of the weed store. Because I just said, oh, I did a weed store in Trenton. He's like, NJ Weedman's joint? It's like, Dad, why do you know weed stores in Trenton? Yeah, like if that was a bar, if I said like, oh yeah, I did a show at a bar across the street from Trenton Police Headquarters. And then my dad's like, oh, whatever bar name? I'm like, yeah, it's weird that you know the name of a bar 45 minutes away from your house, but... That doesn't seem dirty, but like it's drugs. Like I don't know if that counts as clean.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. You know, like if you did one of the clean shows that I produce and stuff, that wouldn't bother me. Go ahead.
Well, you also live in California, so you've had legal weed way longer than I have.
I guess, but I mean, it's like there are people. I mean, obviously, you couldn't do it at a church show, right? A church show would say no to that. But like a clean show, depending on the level of what they want, I think someone referenced weed in a dry bar comedy special, if I remember right.
I did make one reference at the show, the birthday show I mentioned, to weed because there's only a few dispensaries in New Jersey that are open for recreational use, and I live near one of them, and no one before that knew the name of my town. And I was like, oh, because it was in Jersey. It was like 45 minutes away from my house where I was doing this show. I was like, oh, yeah, I came from name of town, which no one was familiar with until like 2 weeks ago. And it's like, oh, where the dispensary is? Yep, that's the one. And that was fine. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this, like, I wouldn't do it at a corporate show, which is what I've been doing a lot of lately. But I did a clean, it was billed as a clean show. At Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, and I think I did it on that one, but that was also I mean, it's not that there's no stakes, but I wasn't that concerned about the stake because it's a venue that I'm at all the time, you know.
Right.
It's not like I'm trying to get in a new club and I slip up once and then they stop calling. It's like, I'll show up at your house if you stop booking me, Ryan. I know where you sleep.
I don't think we're supposed to say stuff like that to bookers. I know where you sleep.
I mean, I do. I know where it is. I'll text you his address.
Could you imagine going up to like somebody that was like the improv or like the comedy store? Like, you better book me because I know where you sleep. That's funny. Yeah, no.
I was at an animation like 2 weeks ago, and one of the guests who does like VR or VFX work and stuff was like giving a recent graduate advice, and basically like find out who's going to be interviewing you and like learn stuff about them. And he's like, are you saying stalk the person who's trying to give me a job? And he's like, no, but just like if you knew things about them, then like you could bring it up in the interview. And he's like, that sounds horrifying. If I was interviewing somebody and they're like, hey, I like that picture of your dog, I would lose my mind. I'm like, I understand. Because the problem was, like, this guy is, like, a bit older than me, probably mid-40s to 50. And then this other kid's, like, 22. So I think it was just a generational thing of how, like, our parents, when they're like, oh, yeah, like, go get a job. You walk into a place, you get a application, you fill it out with the manager. It's like, no, you scan a QR code on your phone and you fill out a form online. That's how it works now, old man. Get out of my way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was just a generational thing of like how it used to be. And now, yeah, like, I don't know, people have boundaries now. But I think you should still learn about the company or like the club. Like if you're cold calling a club or sending an email or something, it helps to like be kind of familiar with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, hey, I saw you at a comedy club in Ohio. Can I come tell jokes at you? Like, that's not a great way to start.
I always ask another comedian that I know that's done the club about it. And then I say, who's a good person to talk to? And then I say, if I talk to them, can I reference you? Can I say you gave me the information? You gave me their name. You said whatever. If they say no, then I say, okay, well, then I won't reference you, but I'll still call and say, I heard good things about you from other comedians. I'll just say that, as opposed to so-and-so. Like, Glenn told me he loved this place or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a bunch of comics almost a year since my Dry Bar special come out ask me, like, oh, how do you get a Dry Bar special? And the answer was, Ricky Glore asked me why I don't have a Dry Bar special. I'm like, because you don't sign up. It's not how it works. Like, he had just taped his, and I don't think his was out yet. And he's like, oh, and he did give me an email address, but also that email address was listed on the website for Dry Bar, and his wasn't out yet. So he's like, I don't know if mentioning me would help. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to it, but I don't know way help you or hurt me, so I'm like, it's I won't mention it. And I emailed them, I was like, here's a video, and they're like, great, when can you come out? But then I've had a bunch of people asking me, so I'm like, oh, like, I don't want to just give out email, because I checked the site, I'm like, if it's still there, I'll just tell them the person you email. But it wasn't, I couldn't find it on the site anymore. So I was like, yeah, no. So I reached out to somebody at Dry Bar. I was like, hey, I have a lot of people asking me, what should I tell them? And yeah, she just gave me an email. She's like, have them send a video to this address. It should be like a good video of the material they would do. And I was like, perfect. So I've sent that on. I don't know if anybody's actually followed through and actually done it.
Yeah. Mine has been via another comedian coming to me and saying, hey, it's doing the same thing as Ricky Glore did to you. And then I've had other comedians ask me. And so I go back to that comedian and say, hey, this person's asking. And then he'll say, send me a link. Yeah. And if I like it, I will send it to the person at Dry Bar. So I have to go like two steps away, which is fine. I don't mind. But I'm not giving that person's name out to anybody. Not in a million years. You send me the link.
Well, it's
I'll
one
give
of those
them.
Things where to help in any way that I can, even like if you're listening or watching this and you're like, oh, I wonder if Glenn can assist me in any way, there's a contact form on my site. If I can, I'm happy. But also, like, I don't want to bombard this person's inbox with open micers being like, I want to do a Dry Bar special, here's 10 minutes of me talking about butts or whatever. Like, that's it is, like, I'm happy to share information I have, but there's also like so you don't want to necessarily be the person to be like, you're not right for this, like, you shouldn't have a Dry Bar special, like, because one, I don't work there, I just did one. It's not up to me. But also, like, you know, I would love to do another one. I want to have a good relationship with them. It's been going great so far, so I don't want to be the guy who's responsible for 400 emails in the person's inbox, like Mikers from the middle of Pennsylvania. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really how it works, you know? It's a fine line to try to walk sometimes, where you want to be helpful, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings and be the one where it's like, no, like, it's, you shouldn't do that. So I don't know. Well, I still have to send another video into them. Right. I'd love to go out and do another one.
I have to do it. That's why I'm doing these shows. Because in LA, I'm only getting 7 minutes, 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of stage time. 20 minutes. I don't have a 20 minute tape, and you know,
yeah.
And I want to have so a good tape. Hard. It is.
It is so hard to get any good tape. Cause like stuff goes wrong. Like I did a show the other night and I pressed record on my phone, walked up to the stage, did a great hour of stand-up comedy at a lady's birthday party. And then when I went to stop the recording, it had not started the recording. And I was like, and it was like such a good show. And like, I could have pulled clips out of that for weeks and put them on TikTok or whatever, yeah. But I don't have it. And then I have video from that show of half a room of realtors ignoring me in Virginia. Like I could put those videos up, but it wouldn't help me in any way. But also, like, I do a lot of corporate shows, so it's tough to, like, usually they're pretty good if I'm like, hey, is it all right if I said it's mostly just for reference for myself. I might pull some clips and put it on social media, but it's not like, it's not going to be video of you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And usually they're cool with it. But, yeah, it is so hard to get a good tape together.
Well, that's the thing is, that's why I reached out. I reached out to a friend who has a club in San Antonio. I said, look, this is not for me. I want to, Darren will headline. He's going to carry the weight of the show. I want a good tape at a good club, and I want to do it. And at first he gave us one night. He's like, you can have one night. And I was like, okay, perfect. And then we negotiated stuff. I don't care about getting paid. I will find a way to get there. I will have a good tape at a show, at a club.
See, I care a lot about getting paid.
Well, yeah, but you should, right? You're a headliner level. I'm not headliner level. I don't care about that right now. For me, it's I need the tape to get the show, to get the headliner thing, to move on. You know what I'm saying? To keep moving forward. And Darren is the person. I don't want to use the word glom, but I don't know other word to use. He's the person that I have that's willing to let me glom on to him to go. You know what I'm saying? And not glom, I guess. But it feels, to me, it feels like that. I wonder if he's like, is this dude just glomming onto me? First of all, I love Darren. He's amazing. But he's opened doors for me and given me opportunities. But I've also worked to get those opportunities to open. Like, I am the one that contacted this club for us, you know? So he's getting paid off of something where I opened the door and said, hey, can we do this? But he's carrying the weight of the show. Yeah. So then they turned around and said, we're going to give you one day, but let's give you 2 days. And I was like, great. Now I have two chances to have great tapes. So I'm very excited about that. And when I get everything solidified, I will be shouting out that club to everybody in the world because, one, it's already a nice club. And I'll even recommend you if you want to go down there. They do pay well, good hotel, pay, all that stuff. So I'll talk to you afterward if you're willing, if you want to do it.
But. Always. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I've said it on this show before, the way I decide whether I will or will not do a show is, would I travel to that location to pick that amount of money up off the ground? And if the answer is yeah, I'm in. So if I'm doing a show at my house and they're like, oh, like there might be some gas money, we're going to pass a jar around at the end of the show, I'm like, I'm home, I'm free, I'm happy to do it. But then if there was a show in like pretty far northern Canada and the offer was $1,000 and I'm like, no, like I would love to do it just to like do super far north Canada, but I cannot get there for $1,000. Like,
yeah,
there's just no way. And I was like really back and forth. I'm like, maybe if I drive it, like it'll be a couple days, but it'll like lower the cost. I'm like, there's just no way. I had to turn it down. I'm like, I would have loved to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is the Alaska trip came up and the first amount they offered me and I was like, ooh, because I Googled flights beforehand to be like, how much is it going to cost in flights alone? So I said, we have to cover flights and we need to cover, you know, making some money off of this. And these are the minimums that I have for the other comedian. Again, for me, I don't care. Like right now, it's more about time. If you cover my plane trip and I have a place to sleep, I'm in 100%. You know what I'm saying?
So there's places like that where, like if I break even to go to a place that I want to go, great. Then basically you've just covered my travel for like a mini vacation to go to wherever.
Right.
But if it's like, I did a show in Iowa. And I don't remember the name of the town. It's not important. Small town in Iowa booked me to do their after high school prom event. So I'm doing a show at like 2:30 in the morning for 17-year-olds. And I was like, yeah, I mean, sure, I'll come. Wasn't on my list of places I want to see before I die. So pay me money. Like, it worked out.
Hilarious. I mean,
but yeah, like I've done shows other places which like, oh yeah, you know what? I would love to go to like Raleigh, North Carolina. Any bookers in Raleigh, you can get me cheap because that's where my best friend lives. I'm always just happy to go see my friend Dan. Like, you know, I will want to probably break even, but you know, I'll agree to it.
That's hilarious.
You gotta find where comedians' best friends live. And then
yeah, yeah, exactly right. Like, because here's the other thing too. My grandma lives outside of where we're going in Texas, so I know I'll get to see my grandma. So for me, it was like a win regardless. Like, I would have either had to pay to go to Texas and see my grandma, or I can still get paid and now do two shows and make two tapes possibly, and get Darren paid and have a great trip with him. Okay, I'm in. You know, so it's awesome. Comedy's the weirdest job. It's also, if you have this problem, I don't like talking money with people. Like, I don't like having to negotiate pay. So it's awkward for me.
I hate it. So I work with the comedian company a lot. They've been getting me a ton of stuff. And I like the way they do it, because it involves in me getting a lot of, that's my favorite part, but also it's just, they just say, hey, do you want to go to whatever town for this amount of money? And I'm like, yes or no. Like, that's all it is. It's not like, there have been a couple times where it's like, no, but if they a little bit, I would go. And sometimes the answer is like, no, that's the offer, that's all they're going to do. And other times it's worked out and I'm like, yeah. And you don't know if you don't ask. But then I've had somebody reach out the other day because they saw me at a different show. And they're like, hey, do you want to come do, I'm putting on an event for teachers. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, how much would it cost to get you to come? And I'm like, $1 billion? I don't know. What's your budget? Like, just tell me a number first. And I will agree very quickly because it's way more than you should be offering to pay me, or laugh in your face because you tried to give me $50 or something, you know? Like, it's, I hate it. I use Gig Salad a lot, or not a lot. I've been using it for a long time. I don't get a lot of stuff through it. If you're not familiar with it, listener, it is a site where, like, if you want to have a balloon artist come to your birthday party, go to Gig Salad, type in balloon artist, and it'll give you a list of people to contact. Comics too, but so I'll get leads on there, and I'll read the description of the event, and sometimes it's like, oh, that sounds horrible. So I wildly high quote for my price, and then expecting them to just say no, and then sometimes they're like, yeah, that's fine. Like, okay, I guess I'm doing this bad show for a weirdly high amount of money. And then you do it, and it's, sometimes it's better than you expect, and other times it's just as bad as you expect, but then you have a bunch of money after, so it's great. But that's, I'm only kind of pretty recently getting comfortable with, like, going in at a higher price than I think I would have 5 years ago.
Right.
And it's not, I'm very affordable if anybody's looking to book me. But I think when you're starting out and you're first starting to get paid work, it's just like, oh God, what's the highest or what's the lowest number I can say that I can still justify doing this show? Cause then they won't say no to that. Now it is like, if I have to travel, it's like, yeah, it's whatever the travel expense is. Plus, like, I've come up with a day rate for myself basically.
Yeah.
And that's really helped because I have to travel, it's basically cost of travel plus this day rate. If it is a show closer to home, I'll just quote the day rate. And it's like, based not on nothing, but it is kind of an arbitrary number based off of shows that I've done in the past, where it's just like, if I averaged out a bunch of shows, what do I make per show? because it really does matter. Like, that's the thing when people ask, like, how much does it cost you to do a show? Depends on the show. Like, am I traveling? Is it at a comedy club? Is it at a venue where I need to bring sound equipment? Do I need to set up sound equipment before a show? That will cost you extra because I don't want to do it. Like, it's, I work it in as a rental fee if I have to bring my PA system, which is, I mean, we had that thing paid off when we bought it, but I still charge people every time I have to use it because I don't want to lug a PA system. Like, yep. I'm not renting. So I list it as a rental fee when I bill people for stuff, but it's mine. I own it. But also, like, I would much rather leave it in my attic than throw it in the back of my car and then walk it into your country club in the rain. You know, like, that, that is the thing that costs you more money.
I agree.
Yeah. It's just, I think it helps. Like, figure out what a day of your life is worth to you.
Well, that's the problem, though. With me, it's different because I also write. So if I lose a day of my normal day, I could lose quite a bit of money. But my comedy's not worth that amount. See, it's a, that's the problem that I have. Like, David and Darren know what their day rates are. And they've told me those day rates, and I have that number. So I know what to reference there. But for me, if I go off of...
Man, I wish somebody had mentioned this to me years ago. I thought I thought of it and was like a genius. I was like, oh, yeah.
They also have a range, by the way. They have a range. So they have a low, what's their minimum? Like,
I've quoted people and they're like, oh, would you do it for this? And, you know, if it works, I'll say yes. It's not like a hard line in the sand. It is like a rough negotiating point of like, this is what a day of my life is worth to me. and I will sacrifice a day of my life to tell you jokes specifically. If you give me enough money to make it feel like I'm not wasting my time to be there, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, they both have a minimum and they have a range of like, this is the average that I would want. This is the lowest I'm willing to go. So I always start at their average and then I work my way down if I have to. And so far it's worked out really well where I'm like, okay, this is it. This is what we can do. And, you know, and then, you know, I had to negotiate stuff with Darren the other day. And I was like, look, this is what they're saying. Is that okay? He's like, well, I need a minimum. And so dude, that was the hardest thing because one, I love the guy who runs the club. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I love Darren. And so now I feel like I'm caught between two parents trying to like stop a fight, you know, type situation.
Yeah.
That's why I felt like that. And I was like, oh, this sucks. I hate doing this. My wife's looking at me like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm negotiating this thing with Darren and with the you know, the club. And I like them both. And I don't want to tick either person off.
Right.
And she's like, it's just business. And I'm like, to you, it's just business. To me, it's friendship and business, which is terrible.
Right. I mean, you have relationships with both sides of it. So you don't want to like, you want the deal to be fair to everybody, which I mean, most, that's the point of making deals with people. It should be. But now you have like skin in the game on both sides where you're like, yeah, I want everyone to walk away from this happy.
Right. And I even said, you don't have to pay me. Okay. You don't have to pay me. I will go regardless, no matter what. And he's like, okay, that's great. I was like, but Darren has to get paid. And this is what has to happen. And he's like, yeah, okay. So then we worked it out or whatever. And then Darren's like, I need a minimum though, because we were doing a door deal basically.
Yeah.
And he goes, I need a minimum guaranteed though. And I said, okay. So then I said, can we do the XYZ? And so we went and negotiated back and forth. And finally, that's how it ended up being two shows. And this thing is like, oh my gosh. So I'm excited. I'm glad that it happened. And it's not 100% official yet. We're still working on some of the minutia of it, but
I hope you lock it down.
I'm trying hard. I really am, because I am very excited to go, and that's the moment I know it's locked in and for sure it will be everywhere, because I'm very excited about this one. The club is great. It's new. It's only been around for I think about 9 months now, 6 to 9 months. It's a new club, great owner, great people, great place. So I'm like, dude, we got to get this going. So I'm very excited. But
nice.
And so, yeah,
I
so
agree about the money thing you were saying, but Maria Bamford like famously like talks about money a lot, and like she's pretty upfront with how she runs her operation, who gets paid, what. And I'm like, that's great. More people should do it. The problem is, I feel like it's embarrassing to me specifically because I don't make a ton of money, like. I'm doing all right, you know, but I feel like this is how much you should charge for a show. Other comics would be like, you adorable, sweet little summer child. It's so cute that you think that's a good amount of money to make for a show. But also, like, you know, I'm not that big of a name. I don't have that many credits that people really care about. But I'm good at what I do. So I'm comfortable being like, yes, it costs this amount of money for me to come tell you jokes. And if you're really deep into Canada, I cannot do it for $1,000. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you do have a dry bar special, which is an elevated thing. It's right now it's almost equivalent to a Netflix special, like in all actuality. I know that somebody's going to be like, that's BS, but it really is. It's really that close of a thing. It's not, it's like triple A ball and major leagues. It's like right there.
It's one of those things where a little bit aware of dry bar before I knew there was this company putting out clean half hour. And I'm like, great. Sounds fun. You know, I work clean a lot of the time, but it's not like of my identity. So I didn't really think that much about it. And then I kept hearing more and more about them. And then Ricky was doing his and we were talking about it more. I'm like, all right. And then I watched a couple and I was like, okay, yeah, like I think I could do this. And then, yeah, sent them a video and they basically replied with like, when can you come out? And now if I were to do it again, like I want to figure out material to do. I think I would be less precious about it. I think we talked about it one of the other weeks I was here. I really sweated the set for the first one. And now I think it would be slightly more casual. Like I want good finished material, but like sweating over which jokes do I put in versus which jokes, you know, do I have to save for something else? It would just be like, these are good jokes that I have that are clean, that work. I'm just going to do these ones. Especially now that they're doing slightly shorter specials. I'm like, it's like a feature set.
25 minutes, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's fine. Because I was so worried. I'm like, if I do something on here, like, can I put it on something else? And I was like, no, like, it's like a special, it's out. And then, I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, some of the jokes that I do on there that I've been doing now, like, are longer. Or jokes that are on the Dry Bar special and my first album. It's not word for word. Like,
right.
It is... I've fleshed them out or like tweaked something, or I wouldn't want to just keep putting out the same material on stuff. But if I do another dry bar special, obviously I'm not going to do other stuff from the dry bar special. But if I just do another album myself, yeah, I might include some of the stuff that I did on dry bar special because it's like twice as long and better now. Like,
yeah. That's the thing is, like, I went back to the drawing board to get ready for this because I know I've had so many people ask, are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, my philosophy was I'm not as good as a lot of the people that are doing it. I feel that way about myself. So
you're better than some of them though.
Maybe, well, yeah, maybe. But what I was like, if I do this, I want my once, like, say this is the only time I ever get to do this ever, right? Like, there's never a second chance, right?
Yeah.
I want to put out something that when I go look at it 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, I will be proud that I did that, right? I don't want to go, I could have done better. That should have been this. I should have waited for these jokes or what. I don't want to do that. So I really went back to the drawing board and took stuff that I had that I've been crafting and just really, like, worked and worked and worked. And it's almost diamonds right now. It's not there yet, but it's close to diamonds. And by the time I do Alaska and Texas and some other things that I've been doing and that I'm going to be doing, I think it'll be ready. And then I can go and say, I am confident that if I come to do your show, I will knock it out of the ballpark, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I think,
but I'm terrified. It,
like that, I don't think you need to be, but the mindset of like, look, if this is the only time I get to do something like this, I want it to be really good. I understand. But I've, at this point, it's like, well, I think that, like, if the next thing like that I do, I think that's probably, I haven't really thought about why I'm so much more cavalier about the idea of doing a second one, but I think that's it. It's just like, cause it's the second one. I've already done it once. It went fine. Like, really takes the pressure. It's like, oh yeah, no, I can perform for a theater full of people and several cameras and it goes fine and it turns out good and I'm proud of it. And then I did another online platform. I'm not going to name because now there's like a dispute or whatever, but less worried about that set. But then at the recording, blanked at one point. I just straight up could not remember the joke that I was going to tell. And it's like, I mean, they're editing it. I'll just tell them, like, oh, sorry, I forgot the joke I was going to do, hoping that would give me enough time for it to pop back in. It didn't. It's like, all right, we're just doing old jokes because those are the ones I remember right now. And it's one of those things where, you know, stand-up 101 class and people are like, what if you forget jokes? Yeah, just do different ones. Not everybody has a back catalog, you know? But when you've been in it for 13 years, yeah, like, if I don't remember the joke, but if I can't remember the set that I wanted to do, I can do a set, you know? It's not kicking myself after because I wanted to work out a new bit or I wanted to see if something worked. And then if I don't remember to do it, it's like, ah, man, it's a waste. But it was still, like, probably a fine show.
Now, you don't write a set list out and, like, keep it next to you on the stool or anything so you can reference it or something like that?
I have been lately. I got away from it because I'm like, I think it looks unprofessional if you're, like, checking it. But the more I think about it, especially now post-pandemic, I feel like post the start of the pandemic. I'm aware the pandemic is still ongoing. But all bets are off, you know?
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago, people were like, oh, you need low ceilings and the curtain has to be red. And like, it's gotta be dark and a little bit cold. Everyone's like, I don't know. What if we tell jokes on the back of this truck in the middle of a park? How about that? And everyone's like, you know what? Sure. That's fine. It's not ideal, but like, I think everybody's kind of gotten used to the idea of like, yeah, just do what you need to do to make this work. And
yeah,
my ADD is way worse now than it was at the beginning of 2020. And just the idea of, yeah, I need, and we might've talked about it before, but like, if you look at a set list of mine, I didn't write out my jokes. It is one or two words per probably 5 minute bit. All it does, like, I do jokes, kids being in school. So I will write the words school paper. And that's, if it's a short set, that could be the whole set. And genuinely, I might get up and forget school. Like, I get introduced, I walk out, and it's like, oh, I genuinely don't remember what I was going to do on this 5 minute guest spot or whatever. But like, I have this over for the YouTube crowd, but like, when I do virtual shows, I just have post-its up on the wall and it just says goodies, wishes, baby teeth, two kids, pizza man, zoo, Hercules. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not reading off of notes because I don't remember my jokes. It's because I don't remember what jokes I want to tell. And that I don't, like, that doesn't bother me because I saw Marc Maron years ago and he had a notebook. And he addressed that he had a notebook. And he's like, I'm working new stuff out. This is the new stuff I want to work out. I might look at it sometimes. Don't worry too much about it. And like, I don't think anybody was like, oh, he was just reading the whole time. He wasn't. He barely looked at it, but it was there. And just having like a wall of sticky notes or a little piece of paper with some words on it does help when it's like, oh, what else did I want to do? I don't like it though when comics say, oh, what else do I want to talk about? And then they look at the paper. That specifically I don't care for. What else do I want to talk about? Figure it out. Like,
I do
this. It
should
be like a magic trick. Like, I don't want to see that part of it, you know?
Yeah, I'll do, like, I'm talking, blah, blah, blah. I'm here. I have the mic. I'm talking, da, da, da. I glance over the paper so I know I'm in the middle of this joke. What's the next joke? Okay, cool. And then I keep going. You're not going to notice that I did it. If you know me and you know what I'm doing, then, yeah, you'll know. But otherwise, I'm doing this thing, and it looks like I'm looking at the crowd, or I'm looking over here, and really I'm just glancing over here to see what's on my list. What's the next joke?
I'll put it on the stool, and then when I go to reach for a drink, just take a quick look. And again, I'm not like reading the word bit, which, you know, I've seen people do at open mics, and doesn't...
I've done that. If I have a bit that I'm working on, I'm trying to work it out, I will read it and just go through it a little bit and kind of work it out. And then, you know, because you're not going to hear the cadence.
I mean, if it's that specific, I used to like I did a bit like first or second year of comedy where I like wrote a letter to Skeletor from He-Man. And I'm like, this isn't funny if I do it from memory. Like, the premise of this bit is that I've written a letter character. I need to read the letter. And then I found out, like, 2 weeks later, somebody's like, oh, I forget what site. Somebody did basically the same thing as like a blog entry years ago. I was like, oh, all right, I'll stop doing this bit then. It wasn't that good of a joke. It's just like, the only time I could think of where I on purpose read from the stage. And even if like I memorize it, I will still hold a blank piece of paper and act like I'm reading because it sells the joke. But yeah, if I'm working out a new bit, I might do that, but I don't usually write out.
Right. Yeah. I think my thing is I learned to write jokes and then I learned how Jerry Seinfeld writes jokes. And so it made me hyper aware of writing jokes. And so I'm very more critical and I'll go and I do everything line by line. Like if I ever had to, and I do teach stand up, but when I teach it, you know, line by line. This is the setup. This is the punchline.
Yeah.
This is the tag, you know, and this is how we do it and whatever. So it's whatever.
I will do that. Sometimes where I will think of a bit, I will work it out live on stage a few times, kind of get a feel for the wording and what works and what doesn't. And then like, if something's not quite working right, then I will write it all out. Be like, all right, why isn't this getting the laugh that I think it should? And sometimes it's like, oh, well, it's because you said these two sentences that have nothing to do with anything else. Just cut that part out. Or like, because there's a better word that you can use here, or say this part at the end and not the middle, like stuff that it does genuinely help, like look at it written out to see those mm-hmm. things as opposed to listening to it in a voice memo or watching a video.
Do you, I think I've said this, mentioned this to you before. I recommend Otter.ai. So you can talk out your stuff. Like you can talk out your ideas and it transcribes it. And then you can just go and edit. That's what
You mentioned that. Cause we were talking
I'm lazy.
Doing Good Grief as a book and
yeah.
It's just the idea of doing it is so overwhelming. I just put it all up on my YouTube channel for free and YouTube does like the auto transcription for captions, but you could just document, like I can just copy and paste that
in
a whole hour of comedy. I'm sure it's not a great I have to find, I typed up the captions for the special, released it, and I cannot find the file of those captions so that I can just like upload it to YouTube, and they're like timed out and like I really like, because sometimes you watch stand-up with captions on.
Yeah, of course. Well, I if I'm watching it with my wife, no. If I'm watching it by myself, yes.
Depends. I feel like the timing if the captions aren't done well, like sometimes it'll just be a huge block of text with the punchline and then you read the punchline before the person says the punchline, so like I was, when I was doing the captions, I was like, I need to like time this out to like match my actual timing, because most people do, you know, closed captions, it's like a freelance gig, like you don't care about the thing that you're typing up, you're just doing it because you want your words per minute as fast as you can get it done. So yeah, I don't know. I watch, I've been trying to watch more foreign stand-up comedy. So the subtitles are on because I don't know any other languages, as we've talked about. And it's weird because you can still tell when the punchline is in France, like even if you don't know what they're saying, just because like this, the rhythm of stand-up comedy is the same anywhere.
Yeah.
Not always, but yeah, like for the most part, like if I'm not looking at the television, I'm like, all right, punchline, this part's the set. And like, you get a feel for it. And then, you know, you don't know what they're saying, but you get, I recommend it too. If you're looking to branch out, cause I've been watching a lot of the same comics my whole life. And it's like, I need new comics, but I'm kind of running out of English speaking ones. Plus, like, you know, I would love to do shows internationally, but I want to get an idea of what works in different places, or even just to see how other comics think about the world in different places.
You should you should connect with Dwayne Perkins because he does Asia. He does like an Asia tour every year or two.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And he doesn't, as far as I know, he doesn't speak Asian or any Asian languages.
Chinese, I mean, that's Japanese. Not a language.
I know. You know what I meant? Chinese, Japanese, Korean.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I didn't speak any of those things.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say Asian. I apologize.
A lot of places have English language.
Yeah.
Like expats, or just because people want. If you live in Germany and you want to see Jerry Seinfeld, it might be kind of novel to watch him try to perform in German, but like, they're probably not going to do a good job, you know, like, man, unless it's somebody who is.
Why can I not do a good German thing? What is the deal with the airplanes?
Yeah, like, unless it's a comic who is actually bilingual, like, they're not necessarily going to do that good of a job. Yeah, like, if I could probably learn my set in French or whatever, but it's going to feel sound. It'll be like, did you see the phonetic German Monty Python?
When
Flying Circus was huge, Germany wanted to bring it to Germany, but instead of like just doing audio dubs of the sketches, the guys from Monty Python learned the sketches in German. They don't know German. They're just, it's just like how Andre the Giant learned his lines for The Princess Bride. Like, he doesn't know what he's saying. He's just making sound. But they did that with German. And it's like, you can watch the parrot sketch in bad German. And it's wild.
I might have to do
and
that.
It's like, yeah, it's probably not as good as if you just had German speakers voices for the parrot sketch. But, you know, 60 years later or whatever, I'm super hyped that we get to watch, you know, Michael Palin speak phonetic German or whatever.
That's funny. And like I said, Tom Segura, I know, does Spanish. He does a show. He'll usually do two shows where he'll do an English show and he'll do a Spanish show. And he does the same jokes, just one in English and one in Spanish. And that to me is like.
His realtor should have gotten Segura. He would have crushed it.
He would have crazy because he probably would have told that joke in English, then turned around and told the same joke in Spanish, and then done it again back and forth. That I would pay to see, actually. That would be awesome to watch, but does it. Well, Glenn, where can people find you? Where can they find out more about where you're doing comedy? Where can they find to pay you to go do comedy?
GlennSigel.com is your gateway to all trying to build that email list up. Barely ever use it. So if you're on the fence, like, I don't want to get 40 emails from this idiot, it will be one every couple months because I keep forgetting it is a thing. I think I sent my email list the update that Good Grief is on my YouTube channel now. I did it everywhere else on social media, but I didn't think to do it for the 50 people who specifically want me to tell them things like that.
I should go look and see what my MailChimp list, how many people are on my MailChimp list. I don't know. How many are I haven't used in forever, and I probably should, right? I probably should use my email list because I have people that are on it. But
I heard that's the way to go now because like, I have 50,000 followers on TikTok. If I post a video, 50,000 people don't watch that video. Right. You know? If I have an email list, everybody's going to open it, but it's their decision. Like, it's not my email deciding who should and shouldn't see an email that I want to send them. So it's like a way around the algorithm. But you got, like, it is another thing that you have to build an audience for. So I don't know.
Yep. All right. Well, you guys go check out Glenn Sickle and all the stuff. You can go to @TheCleanComedy podcast on Instagram. You can go to jamesdcrevison.com or comedypreneur.com. Check out all the stuff there. And if you're on my email list, or if you signed, you would have signed up under jamesdcreviston.com. That's the website where I would have it. I will send emails when we're going places. I should.
Yeah, I should probably do one when we get off this call.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Listen to the podcast.
There you go. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go like, subscribe, and follow Glenn, and go check out Good Grief on YouTube. Have a good one.